40 years ago, in the month of May, I was getting ready to graduate from college. I can't believe it. 40 years ago, in the month of May, I was getting ready to graduate from college. I have no recollection of finishing my work. I do have a very firm recollection of finishing my work in seminary. I have a very firm recollection of finishing my doctoral work, but I do not remember finishing my bachelor's degree. What I do remember is that whatever was the last thing I had to do, I finished it, I got in my old Volkswagen squareback car, and I drove 35 miles to the city of Burlington, Vermont, to buy myself a graduation present. And I went into an independent bookstore, and there were a gazillion independent bookstores then, and I bought this book, Annie Dillard's Pilgrim at Tinker Creek. It was just out. She wrote it and had it published when she was 29. It is not a book overtly about religion or theology. I was not a biology student. Why I purchased this book, I do not know. But every once in a while, Martha and a book have an encounter and I take it home. So for $7.95, in the spring of 1974, I bought a hardback copy of Annie Dillard's Pilgrim at Tinker Creek, having no idea that the following spring it would win the Pulitzer Prize for a general work of nonfiction. And this is the story of her, about a year's time spent in conversation and observation with Tinker Creek outside of Roanoke, Virginia, where she was living. And a lot of this book is about seeing, what we see, how we see, when we see. And she refers to a book that was written about the time right after they were first able to remove cataracts. And there are some people who have cataracts from birth, who have never been able to see. And so this amazing book was written about those people. And the response to being able to see was more oftentimes fear than excitement, because when you have not been able to see and your eyes are cleared, you don't immediately see. Your eyes don't just wake up and move into seeing mode. It's a process you have to learn. Some people were absolutely overcome by the light and simply closed their eyes and said, I want to be blind. Other people found it very difficult to realize that every person had a face that looked different because they just thought person. Someone else commented that people and trees are different. Folks had no concept of depth. And so seeing was not entirely a matter of a medical procedure that removed a barrier. Seeing was a process that they had to commit to. And it was a hard process, and it was a difficult process, and it took time. The overarching metaphor of seeing right in the midst of the Gospel of John is a powerful metaphor. And it's not just about physically seeing what's in front of you. It's about the ways that we see with our hearts. It's about the ways that we see, in the words of Eudora Welty, parting the curtain, getting through the veil that keeps us from the presence and the wonder and the plight of others. Now, those who were well established in this story, those who had positions where they were deemed to be in power and they were deemed not to be sinners, couldn't see. All they could ask over and over again in various ways was, how could this be? Well, the only way it could be is that you weren't really blind, or you're not really the man. The only way this could be is that this man is a sinner and should be cast out. There was no way for them to see what was happening. There was no way for them to see the promise and the presence of God in a man from Nazareth and what that had to bring them. They could not see. There's a contemporary writer whom I'm very fond of, Barbara Brown Taylor, whose all the time making the distinction between what we believe and what we behold. And she comes down hard on the side of beholding. Rather than running around always saying, well, I believe this and I believe that and I believe that, her advice is to keep track of what we're beholding. Because from what we're beholding, how we're seeing, from that comes our belief. And from that comes the foundation of how we live and how we relate to others and how we get past the boundaries that say, I'm okay, I'm secure, I don't need to care about you, I earned where I am, good luck, get out of my way, don't challenge me with anything else. Seeing is a matter of our eyes. Seeing is a matter of our hearts. Seeing is a matter of how we move in this world as people who know how to love. I had a patient a number of years ago, an older grandmother, well along in years, who couldn't see. And she had a beloved granddaughter who was probably in her 30s. And she and her husband had just celebrated an anniversary or some other special time. And he had bought her a pearl necklace. So she comes into her grandmother's room, and her grandmother isn't that far from the end of her life. She can't see, and grandma says, come over here so I can see those pearls. And she said, grandma, you can't see. And she said, I can see jewelry. I can always see jewelry. Now, I don't know who told grandma about the pearls. Maybe she could see jewelry. But what she could see was that she loved her granddaughter. And what she could see was that it made her so happy that her granddaughter was in a marriage that was filled with love and care and giftedness. I have never forgotten that woman and that exchange. Oh, I can see jewelry. I can see what symbolizes a good relationship and a caring way in the world. In a bigger story, if we were to go back a little bit in time to the 1970s, when theology in Latin America was just erupting in some very exciting ways, it was a very, very difficult time politically. There were the Contra Wars, there was the School of the Americas, there was all kinds of messy political stuff that this country was involved in. And the Catholic Church in Central and South America was coming alive in what has become known as liberation theology. And in El Salvador, one of the bloodiest countries at that time, there was a change in administration. And in 1977, Oscar Romero became the Archbishop of El Salvador. And his ascendancy, so to speak, was not well received by progressive church people in El Salvador. He was perceived as a conservative and a company man, and people were fearing what was going to happen. And from the day Oscar Romero put on all the trappings of the archbishop, he came in with a knowledge and awareness of the poor and the struggles in that country, and he blew everyone around him absolutely away. He spoke prophetically. He spoke as a man whose years of parish work with people who were in incredibly narrow places, that opportunity to see had transformed him and connected him to others in ways that nobody knew about. He was only the archbishop for 3 years because he became too dangerous. And in March of 1980, he was murdered while he was saying Mass in the small cancer hospital where he also lived. He was one who saw so powerfully that he was able at the highest places in the church in his country to speak from a place of sight that did not mow over people or diminish their struggles or contribute to the accumulation of power in just a few places, that was underway. Whether we're on the world scene, whether we're in our lives, whether we're in our neighborhoods or the places that we work, there are all kinds of moments when our eyes and our eyes and our eyes can be opened. And when we can see and hear the words of Jesus and the stories that we're a part of and the way that's in front of us that allows us to live with the how can this be question without being threatened, without getting scared, without shutting down, without protecting what we have. The how can this be question of the season of Lent is a question that's meant to stir our sight. It's meant to help us see the presence of one another. It's meant to lead us to celebrate the wonder of each other. And it's meant to make us sensitive to the plight of many others around us. I don't know the context out of which Eudora Welty's words came. I'm going to bet she wasn't talking about justice making. But she was talking about justice making. And this kind of seeing that Jesus offered to the man blind from birth is seeing for right relationship. It's seeing for becoming the love of God with one another. It's seeing that will allow us to apprehend that love in our own lives.